Title of my presentation is Estimating Study Visit Burden, an Important Planning Tool for Community-Based Research. And I have no relationships to disclose. just to talk a little bit about the background of my paper, the Global Network for Women's and Children's Health Research consists of 8 research units, which are made up of U.S. universities paired with research units, research centers in 7 countries, and a data coordinating center. The network is sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, and within this network, we are implementing the Complementary Feeding, a Global Network Cluster Randomized Trial, which is an efficacy study with the specific aim of determining the impact of a daily intake of lyophilized meat on linear growth velocity, neurocognitive development, and infectious disease morbidity between the ages of 6 and 18 months, and compared with a serial feed. The research sites are located in Chimaltenango, Guatemala, Karachi, Pakistan, Ecuador, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and rural Lusaka, Zambia. The sample size of the study is 1,200 infants. For each site, 10 clusters were formed. The plan was to recruit 30 participants per each cluster, resulting in 300 participants per research site. The study began in July 2008, is ongoing, and will be completed in March 2011. So here's a map of the research units within the global network. The sites in yellow are participating in the study, Guatemala City, Chimaltenango in Guatemala, and Ecuador in Kinshasa, outside of Kinshasa, rural Lusaka, and Karachi, Pakistan. Dr. Nancy Krebs at the University of Colorado Health Sciences Center is the principal investigator of the study. Our challenge was to ensure high compliance with intervention, as this was an efficacy study, and that included the daily feeding of the study food and the delivery of educational messages, such as good feeding habits, feeding thickened gruels, feeding 3 times a day, and feeding a variety of foods in response to feeding, and other aspects such as hand washing. To ensure compliance, the protocol included a very complex schedule of home visits that was developed to monitor and reinforce the study procedures, particularly the daily feeding of the study food. With this in mind, the protocol steering committee requested an analysis of the potential study visit burden, particularly to determine the optimal recruitment strategy that would keep visit burden to a manageable level and to help determine the resources each site would need to adequately manage these visits. So our objectives were to analyze the study visit burden per cluster to estimate the time necessary to complete home visits per day, compare several accrual scenarios and their impact on the distribution of visits, and to find the most manageable strategy, and also to develop the strategies for appropriate allocation of the study's resources to complete these study visits, including human resources, transportation, and the budget allocated for each country team. So the methods for this study on the burden analysis. The methods we used to analyze the study visit burden were very basic and did not include new technologies or specialized software. We first wanted to look at several accrual strategies, and we decided upon a few to look at, as we knew that the rate of accrual would really directly affect the study visit burden. For each accrual strategy, we then used spreadsheet software to map out the weekly recruitment and home visits using 3 inputs: the frequency of visits, the time needed per visit, and the duration of the intervention. We then analyzed the results of each accrual strategy using descriptive statistics, and the study teams at each site compared the summary tables, graphs, to help them determine the optimal recruitment strategy to pursue. The teams then developed site-specific approaches according to their particular situation, considering other inputs such as human resources available, their site setting, for example, is urban, rural, or peri-urban, and the distance between homes, their budget, et cetera. And just to provide a little bit more detail on the variables that we used as inputs, the frequency of study visits per participant, the home visits during the study were actually divided into 3 stages: daily home visits for the first 3 weeks of the intervention, home visits 3 times per week from weeks 3 to 12, and then weekly home visits once a week from 13 to week 52. The staged approach was selected based upon the assumption that early in the study, mothers would require greater support in following the study procedures and would then gradually require less face time from our research staff. We also included an estimate of time needed per visit. We estimated that a typical visit could run up to 45 minutes, not including downtime for visits between visits that were necessary for travel and other activities, and the duration of the intervention. Important to note is that the targeted age for recruitment was 3 to 4 months of age, allowing for the research teams to identify potential participants early enough to continue to encourage exclusive breastfeeding through 6 months. The actual feeding intervention did not start until 6 months of age. And for each cluster, we have one community coordinator assigned. So there's a total of 10 community coordinators per research site. Turning to the results, and this is what was sort of scared all of our research staff. We turned the results of the analysis, and in this graph here we compare projected daily visits per cluster for accrual scenarios of 6, 10, and 15 months. Just to note that the daily visits begin when the enrolled infants reach 6 months. So we don't really talk about the recruitment period before the intervention was started. So we don't include the visits that were necessary to complete recruitment. The blue line represents the 6 month accrual strategy of about 5 participants per month. Here you see the early high burden of the home visits. The red line represents the 10 month strategy of about accrual rate of 3 participants per month. It shows a similar pattern, but flatter. And the green line represents the 15 month strategy of approximately 2 participants per month, which shows a better spread of visits without the extreme peaks of the first two strategies. We also looked at the projected hours and time spent on visits, which shows basically the same pattern as a previous graph. We compared the 3 different accrual strategies with respect to visits per day, average visit per day, and also the range of maximum visits per day for those 3 accrual strategies. And you can see that we had between 11 and 15 as the maximum visits per day from those 3 strategies. So that was very scary for our staff. Our accrual strategies, here we compare the 3 strategies with respect to time spent per day. The range of average hours per day was between 3.5 and 5 hours, but the maximum hours spent per day were between 9 and 13 and a half. So obviously our staff were really concerned about being able to complete the protocol with respect to the visits that were going to be necessary to monitor the efficacy of the trial. So it is important to note that during the field implementation, that the time spent according to the stage of participation was expected to decrease as the study progressed. For example, participants in the early stages of participation would require more time to learn study procedures, such as the preparation of the study food for feeding and how to perform responsive feeding. This type of visit would likely take from 30 to 45 minutes, but as time went on, visits would be less intensive and requiring less time to complete, say 15 to 20 minutes or so. Based on the results that we provided to our research teams and the push from our sponsor to complete the study within 24 months, the sites chose the 10-month accrual strategy with about 3 participants to be recruited per month. So we further helped the research teams to understand what they would be facing with regard to the home visits. In this slide, we break down the recruitment and participation of the study into 5 segments and provided summary data per cluster, including the average number of visits per day for the given period, the maximum number of visits, as well as the average number of hours projected to be spent per day, and the maximum hours projected to be spent per day. It's important to note that as the study progresses, there is a mixture of participants within a cluster that are at different stages with regard to the number of visits expected per week. For example, in weeks 1 to 8, there are approximately 6 total participants recruited, and a portion of those participants are on a daily visit schedule, and a portion have already moved into the 3 visit per week schedule. By weeks 20 to 34, there were about 28 participants in the study, with only 2 subjects on a daily visit schedule, 10 on a 3 times per week schedule, and 16 on only once a week visit schedule. With this information, the study teams at each site then review the geography and spread of homes within the selected communities and the resources available to them, including human resources, transportation, vehicles, bikes, and motorbikes, and so forth, an allocated budget to determine a viable strategy. So here we have the strategies that each research team implemented. In Guatemala, with a more of a peri-urban setting that facilitated the transport between visits, the team decided to hire temporary staff for periods of high volume. For the 2 African sites, the geography of dispersed villages really required that the community coordinators receive support from a local network of assistants. In the Congo, the team incorporated the help of community health workers that were already in existence, while in Zambia, the study team created a network of mother motivator volunteers to provide daily support to participant mothers. In Pakistan, with an urban setting, the community coordinators received support from the lady health workers of the National Program for Family Planning and Primary Health Care in the selected clusters. So in conclusion, we found that the country teams really appreciated the burden analysis, and they agreed that it was a useful tool for them for planning the optimal use of human resources. We also felt that anticipating visit burden and involving the study teams in the developing and involving those study teams in developing solutions really helped them prepare for the successful implementation of the study. This analysis is recommended for other teams in preparation for community-based research with demanding study visit schedules, as this study had. But it's also important to note that the burden analysis was only one element of the information considered in the planning process. And the important message here is that the close collaboration and participatory planning with each study team really helped them to best prepare for successful implementation. And another thing I wanted to add, in addition, although the tool was static in nature, in actuality, in the field operations, we've had to deal with, we've had to be very flexible to accommodate the participants' daily activities and other emergent situations, such as natural events, heavy rains, flooding, volcanic eruptions, civil unrest, security, and so forth that occurred during the study. So really had to thank our teams that had very difficult conditions to face in implementing their work. And I'd just like to take this opportunity to acknowledge our sponsor and our collaborators from the global network to make this study possible. Thank you very much.